Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that normally explores published adventures and the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. But today we're not. I am Ben, and today I am playing a Duotan colonist marshal called Detrimus Tiny Thogswood. And Tiny is going to be using he and his pronouns.
I love that name, by the way, Ben.
And I will be playing the Nautilin technician mechanic, Darren Eng, who is also a he, him.
And that was Leslie?
Oh, I'm still Leslie. Sorry, y'all.
Well, this could be somebody, could just be listening to this on their own. We don't know.
Any episode could be their first episode, Leslie. I'm Brandon, as I usually am, and this time, I will be playing a completely different character from the one I normally play. Her name is Fiora. She's a Solonian. Smuggler thief.
Cunning.
Pretty cunning. And you might be thinking, unless this is your first episode, you know, and if it is, Leslie's already told you to get out.
I mean, the rest of us are welcoming, but there's Leslie.
Yeah. You might think, wait, this character sounds just like Berowyn, and that's just in your brain.
Her favorite color is blue.
Completely not related.
Yep. Definitely not sisters.
Wait, they're not?
No, they are.
That was a joke.
Yeah, that was the joke.
And, I'm Christine, and today I'm going to be playing EVM9T, a, analyst interrogator droid.
And I'm Risa, and I will be playing the GM for this adventure.
Yay!
Confetti!
You may know me from Tales of the Hadean Way.
Or Enterprise
Club. Or Enterprise Club.
Or, yeah. Or, if you're really, really into obscure podcasts, Krollmeister Sisters.
Nerds.
Yeah. I'm going to explain what this is. This is an adventure I have written that takes place in the Star Wars universe, but it is a murder mystery, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here for hire as a murder mystery runner, but we are on an M-class Mon Calamari luxury liner called the Crimson Star. This specific luxury liner takes a nice leisurely cruise from Coruscant to Ord Mantell, and that's where it stops, then Ord Mantell to Ethor. And that's the beautiful cruise, which, of course, everyone loves so much. Currently, the war is on, and the Empire is struggling after the destruction of the Death Star. While this is not common knowledge among civilians, tensions are still high. The Crimson Star is not as busy as it once was in some years prior, as increased use by Imperial officers has discouraged non-human and less-than-Empire-legal passengers. So, we start off. It is 4 days until we reach Ord Mantell, halfway point through our lovely cruise. Everyone has been around. They know where the ship is. They know where everything is. They know where the beautiful casino is. All of the lovely, lovely balls that have been happening. Tonight, there is a lovely gala on in the ballroom. Here is where we meet our players. Can I ask everyone, what are you doing in this ballroom as a tumbling act has set up to be the lovely entertainment for the evening. Where do I find you guys?
Are there free drinks?
Yes, there are free drinks.
Fiora is helping herself to a free drink. And hors d'oeuvres. And also possibly looking for anybody who's flashing any sort of, like, valuable jewelry, credits.
M9 is currently watching the tumbling act, where the crowd, every time they're clapping, she's just very loudly, like, clapping her metallic hands together.
Perfect. There is a ring of space around M9 where everyone has scooched away from her.
I'm fine with those.
Where's Darren?
Darren is wearing his... He still wears his utility suit from his previous job, but he has classed it up with a bow tie.
Oh, perfect.
And he's one of those guys who's, you know, getting ready for this. Some guy caught him on the way in and said, you know, you can't do one of these events without those cool little plate/cup holders, which are actually really stupid looking. So he's got a plate full of, just mounded with free, quote-unquote, food and a fancy drink. But he also has another drink in his other hand, and he's just wandering around watching the show, talking to people, probably getting a lot of weird looks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The usual customers on this kind of cruise are either people who are in the first class passenger suite, or it's people who are dealing in the casino. So you do not fit into either category, and that leaves at least the staff very confused.
And then he's got his little buddy Gaspode, which is a remote that hangs out with him and kind of hovers around. And he'll address comments to Gaspode when nobody will pay attention to him, so.
Perfect.
Pretty cool show.
And where's Tiny?
Tiny is off towards the back near one of the doors and is watching the crowd watch the tumbling act. He's here on business, so he's expecting trouble. He's not really sure why, but him being a marshal, he's going toward Mantell for a bounty, so he's just being a little on the paranoid side. So he's kind of watching everyone that's watching, crowd watching, but trying to see if anyone's, like, I don't know, stealing things from pockets.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, just things that obviously wouldn't be happening right now, of course.
It does sound a little paranoid, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, Tiny, as you are watching the crowd, you are taking stock, and you see, kind of towards the front of the audience, there is a table. And at that table, there are people who look very important, and they are not being inconspicuous about being important. At the table, you see a man who very much looks like a moth, but you're not quite sure which one. Can't think of off the top of your head. With the moth is a man who is tall and broad and seems to be a bodyguard of some sort, if you were to really try and put your finger on what it would be. And on his other side, there is a petite woman, human woman, who looks very disinterested in the show. As the show continues, a Rhodian, in a very ill-fitting suit, walks in and beelines straight for that table. Tiny, could you make a hard perception check?
A hard perception check.
Yes.
I can attempt that. Do we have a destiny pool?
A what?
Destiny pool.
Oh, we did not.
We're not really protagonists on the galactic scale. The Force cares not for this place.
Okay, so for this adventure, we don't have one?
We can have a destiny pool. I just forgot.
We always forget. No worries.
Yeah. Unless we specifically don't want to have one.
No, I would like destiny points because I would like to use them.
Yeah.
Ah.
She would like to use them against us.
And
beautiful.
Our destiny pool for this session is 1 light side point and 3 dark side points.
Beautiful.
So in that case, I'm not using a destiny point, and I will be rolling my 3 greens versus the 3 purples.
Yeah, it's a coin flip.
And the coin has landed sort of on edge. It is 1 success and 2 threat.
Beautiful. You notice that Rhodian in the ill-fitting suit has cufflinks with falcons on them? Very odd. With the 2 threat, the Rhodian catches you watching him. The Rodian makes it to the table with the moth, leans in, whispers into his ear, and the moth stands up and follows him out of the room. So, Fiera.
Yes.
If you're looking for a mark, could you do mark. A... you know what? Let's be real.
No, you're right.
Can you please do? There is a room full of so many rich people here. It is only going to be an average perception check to find someone. There are so many jewels, you don't know what to do with it.
I have a few ideas.
How big are your pockets?
Not very. Sorry, I just forgot all the talents I took.
That's okay. I never remember talents.
Look, the so I ended up with one threat on that perception. So the food's real good.
Everyone looking at the stage, it's so hard from where you are to see what anyone is wearing. So you're just nothing at the moment. So the moth makes his way back into the room after about 10, 15 minutes, and he looks very pleased with himself, which is, you know,
never good.
Never a good thing. At the back of the room, standing by the buffet, is a Mon Calamari. He's a very short Mon Cal, really, and he's kind of on the pinkish side of red.
Oh, he's so happy.
And he sees Darren with arms filled with snacks and all sorts of fantastic food. And he kind of walks over, puts his arm around Darren and says, "Well, I see that you really have fine taste, sir. However, I'm going to ask that you try not to eat everything. I'm the owner, by the way. My name's Bobek. And I see, my waitstaff has been telling me that there is a Nautilin down here just making his way through the buffet. So if you could just maybe..." He kind of gestures at what you're holding.
You want me to finish eating? I can finish eating, man. That's not a problem. I don't want to put you out of business. This is a nice ship you got here.
Yeah.
He's gesturing with, you know, plate of food and drink in other hand. No, plate of food with drink attached, drink in other hand. But yeah, no, I can stand over there if you want. I can just... Is there going to be dessert later?
I mean, yes, there will be dessert. However, we would like you to tone it back and maybe leave some for the rest of the guests, you know?
Oh, I can do that. Where do you want me to be? I can go anywhere, bro. It's just that way. I'll go that way.
You know, why don't you just come sit at my table so that I can maybe, you know, supervise you a little bit. No, come here. I love to talk to people like you.
Oh, that sounds great. I love to talk to people. This is so great here. It's a beautiful room.
He guides you to a table towards the back of the room. So you can still see the tumbling act on the stage, but not quite as well.
Do you mind if I stand so I can still see? I won't go anywhere. I'll stay at the table. I wouldn't go get more food, but this is really cool, dude.
Yeah, of course. I love people like you. You're great. You're the perfect customer, other than eating me out of house and home. You are great. I see you. You've gone to the casino. I love that. My staff loves you, as long as you stop eating everything off the buffet.
All right. I got you. No problem, Rob. I'll just chill. I will relax and take in the vibe. He toasts with one hand and then the other.
I love Darren's accent. I am fascinated by the accent journey that you both went on there, actually.
Shh, pretend it was the same thing the whole way.
No, I like it. I'm not being like, get your accent together. I'm like, this is great.
Bobek sits you down, or maneuvers you to the table.
Positions me correctly.
Yeah.
Set one drink down and move back to the first drink.
Perfect.
It's pink, and it has an umbrella.
Of course.
And three straws.
Bobek also starts drinking with you, because, you know, you look like you're having so much fun that, you know, he likes to indulge anyway every once in a while. He waves down a waiter and has them grab him a drink as well, and toasts to you. says, you know what? You are great. Couple drinks later, he goes, you are great. You know, because I get some of these Imperials on here sometimes, and they are really bad for business. You know that?
You gotta watch with those humans, man. They get really uptight sometimes, especially the Imperial ones, but... excuse me. I'm sorry, sir. I shouldn't. Excuse me. That was out of line.
No.
That is not my place to say.
You are completely right. You know, they got all of this business other places, and then they bring it here, and they scare off all my lovely, lovely customers who love to just spend as much money as they can in the casino.
Well, you know what? I will pass... excuse me, sir. I will pass along the information on this. This is a great... I'm gonna... Five stars. 15, however many you can give. Awesome.
Ah, perfect. That's why I like you. He slaps you on the back.
Sorry. Thank you.
M9.
Yes.
You notice that there is just out of the corner of your sensors... You notice that there has been someone for the last 45 minutes just kind of watching you. Would you like to try and actually look at them? Do you want to, you know, see who it is?
I would like to try to take notice of them, but preferably without them noticing I'm noticing them.
Perfect. Okay, trying to be inconspicuous. You know what? I'm not looking at your agility. I'm not going to make you roll stealth. Now, actually, you know what? This will be hilarious. It will be...
It's always the best GM justification for a thing.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, I'm the one who brought a character with 3 ones to the party.
I know, it's fantastic.
Oh my goodness, Christine. I didn't even look.
Like I said, I cross-specced with only 100 XP.
It would just be an average stealth check.
Okay.
Surprisingly enough.
Don't worry, I got this. I'm the most subtle droid ever.
Go danger balls.
One success and one threat.
Fantastic. So, the person on the edge of your vision who has been watching you with great interest for the last 45 minutes seems to be a human male, but he seems to be incredibly nondescript. Like, you see him... When you're looking at him, you're like, yes, okay, I know what that guy looks like. But as soon as you look back at the tumbling act as they're finishing, you no longer remember what that guy looks like. But you do know that he was wearing like a leather jacket, a brown leather jacket, and he had black hair, probably.
That's a curious thing. When I look back his way, is he still standing there?
Oh, no, he's gone now. Or probably. You don't remember what he looks like.
Photoceptor's narrow. Train horn blows.
That's the sound of the steam coming out of M9's ears.
The lovely tumbling act comes to a close. All of the performers stand at the edge of the stage and give a bow. And the entire room erupts in applause. And during this applause, the moth stands up, looking very irritated. And leaves the room.
Talk about bad grace. Jeez.
I know, right? It is currently 8 p.m. when that tumbling act ends, and the stage that they have is cleared away. Everyone else is just kind of hobnobbing about a bit and milling around as the waitstaff and the performers take apart the stage to clear the dance floor.
If you're watching Darren at this point, he looks conflicted, like he wants to go over to the stage for some reason. So he busies himself shoving, like, the last of his treats in his face. Like, he's like, okay. He's
perfect.
Focusing very intensely on his plate.
Bobek slaps you on the back again, causing you to choke slightly. You know, friend, if you want to come find me, my office is at the very back of the casino. I would love to talk to you more. So just, you come find me when you want. And he stands up and he... haphazardly shuffles out of the room.
Darren will salute and finish his drink, and then notice that Bobek didn't quite finish his drink. And tip that back too. You don't turn down free food or drink.
Perfect. The stage has been cleared off of the dance floor, and everyone starts flowing out onto the dance floor. Tiny sees that the people who had been sitting at the moff's table, the one who looks like a bodyguard and the one, the very petite woman, have gone out together and are slightly holding hands as they go out onto the dance floor to dance. What do you guys do? What do you all do now that it is dancing time?
I'm going to make my way towards the dance floor.
Oh, perfect. And what are you doing on the dance floor?
Oh, I'll kind of keep an eye out again for things I might be able to lift. Yeah, I do a weasel war dance. I'll just sort of keep an eye out for things I might be able to lift and, you know, try to take advantage of anybody that looks like they're sort of, like, switching partners, etc. If that's the kind of dancing going on to...
Yes, it is, of course, slip. Ballroom dancing, as how whatever that is in Star Wars. You know, use
I'm
your imagination.
Knight's Tale, where it's like kind of planned, but kind of hip at the same time.
Yeah, perfect.
David Bowie playing over the speakers.
Yeah, of course. Fira, you notice as you are making your way through the crowd, you spot someone you know. You spot, well, she doesn't know you, but you know of her. It is Lady Bathos. Lady Bathos is a human woman who is incredibly, just incredibly rich. Just so rich. Her name is Lady. That is her first name. That is not a title. Her parents named her Lady because they're rich enough they thought that was okay. Lady Bathos is a picture. She's wearing a floor-length emerald gown. And right on her chest is an amulet. And this amulet is something you know about, Fira. This is something that your fingers are itching to get your hands on that. Because it is worth 100,000 credits.
Yeah.
Dad,
checks out.
Gum.
And she is wearing it on the dance floor.
Well, I have a new objective.
M9, what are you doing as everyone goes out to dance?
As everybody's going out to dance, I don't move very quickly. So as I was shuffling back, I see a Nautilin who seems to be in some respiratory distress walk by. And I turn back around and start to follow him, trying to make a diagnosis.
A sec, Asbog? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's fine. I know I should be drinking water, but this stuff tastes really good. And Bobek, he knows what he's talking about.
Please stand still.
Darren whips around. He no longer has his drink tray cheater has been put in his pocket, and his hands are empty at this point, except for we'll go with it's like an opalescent blue purple swirly drink. This one has a lid though, because it's got like a little place for the straw. But it's designed to look specifically like a little erupting volcano. And as he whips around, there's just this fine stream of blue liquid that aerosolizes as it comes out. That's why it needs the lid, because of the style of the drink. And he just whips around this little blue trail of smoke coming from one hand. And he does the karate thing, you know. Only with a drink in one hand. So one hand is like in the chop motion. Like, what's going on?
More than two arms go up in like I don't mean to harm you sort of maneuver. And then M9 says,
you appear to be ill. Stand still.
And a little scanner comes out.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What? What?
Stand still.
I'm not moving.
I want to try to scan and see what exactly the cause of his issue is.
I don't know, Gaspar. Do you know who this is? Do you talk to them? Her? Okay. You talked to her before? Oh.
What is Gaspar replying to you during this?
I think Gaspar has just like a little photoceptor that has it focuses and unfocuses in meaningful ways, kind of like shrugs and facial expressions. So he's basically just kind of like nodding this way and that, not actually talking. Or not actually replying verbally.
Not that M9's paying much attention to that. She pulls back her scanner, thinks about it for a moment, and then out pops another compartment, and she passes you a tiny little bottle with some pills in it.
Take two of these a day for the next week. You should be fine. Try to stay away from chemicals.
Well, chemicals is what got me like this in the first place, but who are you, a doctor? You doctor? Hi, I'm my name's Darren Aang. He holds his hand out to shake, and then he fumbles the pills into a pocket and then does it again.
She stares at your hand, looks back up at you.
I am EVM9T.
All right, Eve. Nice to meet you. You shake hands. Like, he kind of guides one of your hands gently into his and shakes.
I am well aware of the custom. I merely didn't want to.
She says, even as you shake
her hand.
I'm so sorry.
I am so sorry. I know it's not cool. Sorry. My bad. Mea culpa.
What language is that?
You don't belong with this crowd, do you?
Is it a tease?
I don't know. It's from a book I read. Yes, I read books. Well, comics. On the hot ones. Usually fan translated. But, you know, I read. Obviously.
Perfect.
I'm deeply impressed.
We're going to follow the camera now over to Tiny. What is Tiny doing as everyone else is dancing?
I'm thinking Tiny's trying to get into the dancing. Like, he's small for a duotone, which kind of is the reason for the nickname, but is dressed in a dress uniform and a flowing coat with tails, has this duty sword, but he's on the floor trying to actually dance with the group and get into the motion of everything.
Perfect. The humans in the crowd try to, like, avoid you, but everyone else seems to be chill with it. Humans are weird like that, aren't they?
Yes.
Totally.
As the night continues, Lady Bathos is dragged off the dance floor with her husband. She has obviously had too many, and they head out. It's about 9 at this point. The two people who had been sitting at the Moff's table, you noticed that they were dancing together for most of the time, but now they've both disappeared, but no one really noticed when they left. Tiny, you also notice that there have been, on the edges of the ballroom all night, more of those just different types of people wearing those really ill-fitting suits. Like, what's going on with that? There were Rhodians. There was a Trandoshan in a suit. That is just, that can't be right.
Hey, Trandoshan's courses. They can be fancy.
It's weird that M9 has an opinion about that.
But there's a Weequay that was wearing a suit as well, and they're all just very, it's a very odd thing to see. And you happen to notice that at least one more of those was wearing those falcon cufflinks. Which, Tiny, would you like to make a knowledge underworld check? It's just going to be easy.
All right.
Easy.
I can get behind that. Successful.
Success. Okay. So, one success. Beautiful. You know, like in the back of your head, suddenly this thought pops up and goes, wait, isn't this sector, wasn't there a person called the Falcon who was a crime boss? That sounds vaguely familiar to you. And, you know, this Falcon symbol on the cufflinks, that has to have something to do with it, right? Probably.
That totally makes sense. Yes.
So now, you see, maybe there's a case to be made here on your way to for your bounty. You know, if you somehow brought down the Falcon, I feel like you'd probably get a promotion. But, you know, seems a little far-fetched, though, still. As the night is winding down, people just you know, slowly but surely, everyone just kind of leaves the ballroom, just trickles out. Who goes to bed first of you guys?
I would totally go to bed, man.
Oh, yeah.
I've eaten lots of food. This droid gave me pills. Hopefully there's a label that tells me if I should start tomorrow or take them tonight. I'm not sure. Hopefully Gaspode maybe was paying attention, but I'm going to go sack out. Big stretch. Snag one small tray of cream puffs as I'm walking out.
Perfect. Who leaves next?
Fiora will probably use the people leaving as a chance to maybe grab a last snack or maybe some nice silver or something as people are kind of cleaning up. You know, just whatever.
Perfect. Did you want to do any kind of, like, recon on where maybe Lady Bathos was staying?
I can certainly try.
Okay, well, we'll just put a pin in that.
I'm more likely to try to find that information by some non-social way, because social is not Fiora's thing.
Oh, really?
It's nope. Fine. There are tons of, like, ducts and stuff, right? Right? Or, you know, you could try
probably
sneaking in somewhere and, you know, finding a passenger list or something. I don't know.
Yep. Or eavesdropping or,
you know, yeah, any whatever of those things. Okay. What about M9?
I think she stays fairly late, basically filtering out when it's made clear there really isn't enough people left here to annoy. Then she'll she'll bother to shuffle out. I don't think she'll head straight back to the cargo bay. She'll take sort of a roundabout path down the hallways, sort of checking out the ship a bit on her way back.
Perfect. Can you do a hard vigilance check?
Sure.
Perhaps.
All right. And one failure.
Bummer. You feel like maybe someone's following you, but you don't see anything. When you turn around, you just there's no one there. And it's just completely empty hallways, because at this point, everyone has gotten drunk and just my brain wants me to say a cuss word, so I'm trying to come up with a new word for it.
Poor life choices have been made.
They're just kind of
they're going to regret
off
it in the morning.
There we go. They're toddling off to their bunks. What about Tiny?
Tiny is trying to help those who are at the end of the party and are just so inebriated they can't quite figure out where they're going. He's like getting their room assignments from them or from the staff who are around them and then helping them to their rooms.
Perfect.
Aww. You're so nice.
As you are making your way back from one of those rooms where you've deposited a person to the ballroom to see if anyone else needs help, you spot the bodyguard on his own, walking kind of purposefully.
This is interesting. Considering the bodyguard has crossed my attention a few times, I'm thinking that Tiny would go off and try and follow.
Perfect. Are you trying to do so inconspicuously?
Yeah, as inconspicuously as possible.
Oh, perfect. Then I will have you do a hard stealth roll, which will be fun.
No, I see how this is. All right, fine.
Wow, you succeeded, though.
Yeah, it was a 2 green, 3 purple check, so low chance. But I succeed with 3 success and 2 threat.
Beautiful. Just perfect. So you follow as the bodyguard is walking around. He seems like he's probably just doing a round, security-wise. Just, you know, checking to make sure everything's okay. But he does look a little bit concerned. After you follow him for a little while, he notices that you're following him, and he quickly disappears.
Okay.
Now, everyone has made their way back to their wherever they are staying. Where is Fira staying?
Is the ship fully booked?
No. The capacity for guests on the Crimson Star is about 800 people, but you guys have probably noticed that there's probably only about 300, 350 people on this ship right now.
Oh, great. She would have endeavored to check herself in, which is to say, either steal a key card to an unoccupied room or pick the lock of an unoccupied room.
Perfect. So everyone has made their way back, and M9, I assume, toddled off to the cargo hold still.
Yes. Eventually getting there.
Middle of the night right now. I'm going to ask Darren, Tiny, and Fira to make a vigilance check.
Uh-oh.
This is not an initiative thing, so don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
Is there a difficulty then?
There is. It's just an average one.
Or Brandon first. Ooh.
Okay.
That's not going to happen again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, so Brandon rolled two successes, two advantages.
Hooray.
Ben rolled one success, two advantages. And Leslie rolled two failures and one threat. Just wanted to mix it up. So.
Because D1 hates me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Darren wakes up in the middle of the night and feels incredibly sick to his stomach.
I probably shouldn't have drank whatever that was Bobek was having. I knew it smelled funny. Oh.
However, Fiera and Tiny both wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of a blaster shot.
Fiera bolts upright and grabs her blaster pistol, which she probably has under her pillow or something when she's sleeping.
Oh, of course. That's the best place to keep it. It's just in case it wants to, you know, go off while you're asleep, you know.
It's fine. It's just a pocket blaster. It doesn't hurt that bad.
Fair enough.
Why does that sound like there's experience behind that?
I mean, it doesn't hurt that bad.
And Tiny is going to get their work coat on, which is a long sort of red serge kind of thing, and get their utility belt-esque thing with their work cutlass on.
Okay.
You have a work cutlass? That's awesome.
Of course.
Do you also have an off-work cutlass? A leisure cutlass?
A dress cutlass?
A leisure cutlass, yes.
A cutlass for all occasions.
I know I have one.
I mean, who doesn't just have swords hanging around?
So, do you both leave your cabins?
How far away did the blaster shot sound?
You know, that would be...
Is it, like, right out in the hallway? Is it...
It sounded, from where you are, it sounded just on the edge of your hearing.
Okay.
It was far enough away that it wasn't just, like, right outside your door. It sounded like it was probably coming from inside one of the rooms.
Well, probably at least... Throw on my clothes. She wears it's kind of like a casual wrap dress sort of thing. Obviously cut for Salonian physiology, which is not human. But she'll throw her clothes on and then just kind of creep out into the corridor, keeping her blaster hidden so as not to actually like look like a threat, but
easily accessible.
She might be in debt to some bad people.
Yeah.
So you know.
Okay, what about Tiny?
Yeah, Tiny's going out and roaming around.
No one is in the halls. It's completely silent. It is about 2 a.m. and it doesn't appear to be anyone around.
Well, that's weird and unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you guys wanted to make... you know, it'd be really fun. I mean, if you want to leave your room, but you didn't hear the blaster shot, Darren.
No, but I need some, like...
Ice.
I need some ginger ale or something.
I mean...
Gotta find that droid and see if they have some Pepcid or something.
And I'm going to do this, but... So,
Ah. And so it begins.
You all three, in the darkness, run into each other.
Ow!
Oof. Oh, whoa. Did I hit a wall? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. That was. I did not mean it. That was not a joke. I wasn't paying attention. Hi. I'm just gonna lean against the wall here for a minute.
And Tiny's gonna help both of them up.
Perfect.
How dark is it?
It is like the lights have dimmed. They're not off, obviously, but they have dimmed to an appropriate level for what that time of day is supposed to be.
Somebody has Salonian eyes.
Yeah. So unless it's like pitch dark, I pretty much see the same regardless.
Yeah. It's not pitch dark.
Yeah.
So you can see.
I assume, are either of you like very obviously looking for trouble?
I look like I'm about to puke.
Mm-hmm.
I am not.
Okay. Won't draw the blaster or anything. No, no need for that.
We're all good here, right? Have you guys seen that droid medic?
The what?
There's a droid. Gave me some medicine. I grew a new kidney. You know. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
No, I approve.
Gave me some meds. I thought they might have something for my stomach.
I think all the medical staff on this ship are not droids.
You were correct. There are no droid medics on this ship.
Yeah.
Like, working for the ship.
What Fiora doesn't say is that she knows this because, like, yesterday she was, like, casing the infirmary for high-quality drugs that she could sell.
Yeah, of course. There's nothing suspicious out here, except for each other. You're all slightly suspicious of all the other people. Well, Darren's not suspicious of anything. Darren feels incredibly sick and would like to not feel sick. However, Tiny and Fiora both heard a blaster shot. And now there's these strange people out in the halls.
Just out for a stroll, are we? Is that...
Well, I heard a shot.
A shot?
A shot?
From a blaster.
Blaster?
Yes.
Okay, Risa, are blasters allowed?
They're not allowed, but, you know, there are people on the ship. It's looked over.
Mm-hmm.
While on the surface, the ship is pretty, it seems pretty on the up and up, it is well known that there is some shady stuff going on. And that is what most people enjoy about it.
I'm figuring that Darren has no clue about any of that. He just assumes that blasters aren't allowed.
Yeah, definitely. Letter of the law.
Somebody watching a holo loud or something? Because you're not supposed to have blasters, man. I'm pretty sure it was in the brochure.
They don't check that closely.
You sure there's not a droid?
Yeah, I'm very sure.
Gaspode, please tell me you saw that droid. Okay, we're good.
As you guys are discussing, you see from the other end of the hall, there is a flashlight that starts coming towards you, and you hear a voice. Hey! Hey, what are you guys doing up? You guys should be asleep.
Can Darren just kind of look around since, you know, he's used to hallways and kind of corporate plush kind of places. Can he just look around and find the basic light switch for the hallway and just turn it back up?
No.
Nobody gave me an itinerary that says when I can't be asleep.
Was there a curfew listed in the brochure?
There is not.
That doesn't make any sense.
This is a human man, and he is seeming very, like, you guys are up to no good.
The
as far as
crew?
He's concerned, you three are up to no good. You're out after, you know, the lights have been dimmed, so that can't be good.
Hey, we could be, like, night owls. There's no reason it can't be good. I don't actually know the cycle of a traditional Nautilin lifetime or sleep schedule, but, you know.
My species sees very well in the dark, and
If the lights are out, it's news to me.
You all get back to your cabin before I take you back to my office.
Who the heck are you?
I am Ted, the security officer.
Ted?
Ted.
Hi, Ted. I'm Darren.
What's Ted wearing?
Ted is wearing just khakis, a polo shirt. You're like, wow, polo shirt. Never seen that before. A black, basically baseball cap. He looks like he's from our universe, but then sure. Put in Star Wars.
Does it look like he has any code cylinders or anything like that on him?
No, just got a name tag. It says Ted. And a flashlight. And on his holster, it looks like he might have a blaster, but it might be fake.
Yeah.
Darren's gonna go through the whole spiel about feeling like he has to throw up to Ted and being like, can you get me to the medics or something? And he's gonna kind of lean, if Ted comes within range, he's gonna lean heavily on Ted in that vague sort of, I don't want to stand up straight kind of way.
Yeah, so Ted is happy to take you to the med bay and glares at Tiny and Fiora. When I come back, you better not be here. Better go back to your cabins.
But don't worry, I'm sure we'll move along by then.
He ushers off Darren to the med bay, where Darren very quickly passes out after being given a shot of something.
Fiora turns to Tiny once Ted is out of earshot, it seems. So you heard the shot too?
Yes, I did. It's suspicious that then also a security agent came around at the same time, or soon after.
Maybe they heard it. I'm gonna check it out.
I think I shall join you if you do not mind.
Are you armed?
Yes.
With two of them.
Does look at both arms, pats the handle of the vibrocutlass, and then pats their right boot. Yes.
Is that a leisure cutlass?
Well, it is definitely my favorite cutlass.
As you guys both do a round or so, there's nothing suspicious and nothing to clue you in on where the blaster shot came from. But it seems to be getting pretty late now.
Yeah.
And maybe. Breakfast is at 7 a.m. And it's only a free breakfast from 7 to 8:30, you know, because...
Oh, it's always a free breakfast.
But only from that time, because they can't let too many people eat the free breakfast.
And they definitely can't afford for Darren to be.
Yeah, Darren.
Yeah, it used to only be from 7 to 7:15, but they got sued a while back that said that they had to have it open for at least time for people to eat a full meal. So now it's from 7.
Gasboat has an alarm to wake Darren up for the meals.
Perfect.
Well, if we can't find any sign of anything else, probably going to head back to quarters and nap. Albeit a little bit on edge.
Yeah, if we're not really able to find anything, I also would head back to my quarters.
The lights start coming up slowly, as if day was breaking. Breakfast has been put out. Is everyone going to head on to the lobby area, I guess? Wherever it is that they have their food. I'm thinking of a word, but I can't... dining room. That's the word I was looking for originally. The dining room.
Assuming that the injection I was given... has cured up my stomach troubles 100%, yes.
Yeah, it has. They gave you a really good anti-nausea med, as well as just, you know, a tranquilizer to make you stop talking to them. But that's worn off by now.
Oh, heck yeah.
How about everyone else?
I don't know if you know this, but it's really boring hanging out in a cargo bay. Yeah, I will head up that way. I'll say goodbye to the gonk droid that's been... keeping me company in the cargo bay.
Gonk.
Yeah, he's not a great conversationalist.
Cargo rarely is.
Say that to my face.
I said rarely.
I tried to play I Spy with the Gonk Droid. It was not a very long game.
Tiny and Fiora, are you guys also heading?
Oh, yes.
Does Fiora know where the security office is? And is it in the vicinity of the free breakfast?
It's not on the way. It's a little past the free breakfast, so it might be better to hit it up after breakfast. You know, get some food in your belly first.
Free food.
Yeah. On your way to the dining room. Dining hall? Let's call it a dining hall. That sounds more fancy.
More Hogwarts, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. On your way to the dining hall, all of you, more or less, are in the vicinity when a maid, a door to a cabin swishes open, and a maid runs out of it and pukes into a plastic ficus.
Oh, that was me last night. Did you have that pink drink?
The woman crouches down next to the ficus and just is rocking back and forth. And starting to cry.
Oh, buddy. But we can't have it. Somebody go get Gaspo, go find someone. I'll go over and actually like crouch down, you know, arm around, do like, it's okay, we're gonna find somebody. Do you need a bucket?
No, you don't understand. He's dead.
He's dead, Darren does that kind of puts one knee down and swivels to face the room she just ran out of. In that dramatic kind of turn. Did the door close? Is he looking at a closed door?
The door is still open. Like, okay. She opened it, ran out, and it has remained open.
If Tiny and Fiora are walking towards breakfast together, just they got out of their rooms at about the same time, and then hear this, Tiny looks over at Fiora and then runs over to the open door, starts looking inside.
Inside? Just at a glance, you see it is a very fancy room. This is probably just the main suite. And inside, in the darkness, you see a body on the bed. And if you squint really hard, you notice that the body is that of the moth that you saw last night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
If I yet live, you can find me on Twitter at LeslieGS.
And I'm on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
And you can find me on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K. Or you can check out my other podcast, The Glass Dagger, over at CompleteNight.com, also Night with a K.
And you can find me at CookieKit, KookyKitt, because people keep telling me it sounds like I say cookie.
It does.
We are all at thehydianway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydian Way.
Our podcasts are on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydian Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydianway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydianway.
Or you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thehydianway.